Welcome to Radio School of the Bible, a ministry of the Center for External Studies at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. My name is Greg Wheatley. I'm your host for these broadcasts, and each quarter on Radio School of the Bible, we have a different instructor and a different topic of study. Now, some quarters, it's a Bible study, a book of the Bible that we go through verse by verse. And during other quarters, it's a topical study. And that happens to be the case this quarter as we study together God's will for your life. Now, without any further delay, let's continue in our study of God's will for your life. Here's our instructor, Dr. Bill Thrasher.
Thank you very much, Greg. We're going to take a turn today. We've said two main points, and we've developed the second one at quite length. But the first main point we said was a person who wants to understand God's will and know God's will and experience it must understand God's purpose for their life. And we took time to answer several questions that led us to the conclusion that God's purpose for every life is that we learn to trust and love and delight in Him. And then we also said, secondly, that a person who wants to know God's will must have a greater desire to know God than to know God's will. And we looked at various truths about God and how responding to them leads us to the experience of God's will. It leads us into the experience of having a right view of ourselves and having meaning and purpose in our life, having a sense of contentment and a sense of security. Well, here's the point I want to make today and develop it in the next few broadcasts. A person who wants to know God's will must respond to the revelation of God's character. How do I respond to the revelation of God's character? We've sort of given insights along the way as we've talked about various aspects of the attributes of God. But what we want to talk about today is this idea of presenting our life to the Lord, which God says results in His will. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, it's the basis of this exhortation that I'd first like us to look at. You know, I can say this, and I'm somewhat ashamed to say it, but it's the truth in regard to what would go through my mind as a boy. Was an uninformed Christian, but as a boy, being a meeting where people were being encouraged to yield their life to the Lord. You know, the thought that would go through my mind, Greg, was this: Lord, I wonder what unlucky person is going to get caught tonight. You know, it's like, I guess somebody has to do it. You know, but all that just reflects my total real ignorance of who God is. You know, the basis of this exhortation is the mercies of God. And the mercies of God there speaks of God's attribute of mercy, as well as, it, in broad sense, it's who God is and what He's done. In light of that, He says, present your life to me. You know, in light of what we've said on these broadcasts, if there is one who is eternal, and most things are not eternal, if there is one who's immutable, most things change, you can't depend upon it. If there is someone who knows everything, and therefore I guess His will would be best, if He knows all the options and He promises to give me the best, if there is one who can be with me at all times, who is perfect wisdom, who is perfect power, who perfect love, who's holy, there's no taint in His character, He's absolutely faithful, He's completely in control, He's merciful, He's gracious, He's good. You know, I think a person would say, if I could get one accurate glimpse of God, it would be utter insanity not to want to put my life into His hands.
You know, I remember on that track, Dr. Thrasher, I think it was Charles Swindoll who I heard say that real insanity really is being out of the will of God. Or being in a state where we're in rebellion against God, that really, and there's biblical precedent for that. If you look at Nebuchadnezzar and so
that's
forth,
true.
But really, the insanity is not yielding to His will; it's being out of His will, isn't it?
Absolutely. So the basis of this exhortation I find is very important in a sense to stress to one's own heart. God has said many things to the church here at Rome before He gives us this exhortation. He's revealed Himself, His character. In fact, the book of Romans, I did my dissertation on the attributes of God in Pauline theology. And I remember going through book by book, just inductively seeing what it taught about the character of God. And I remember as I went through Romans, almost all of what He said in all of His 13 letters you'll find in the book of Romans. It's an incredible emphasis in regard to the character of God here in the book of Romans. the character of God and the blessings of God. That's the foundation for this exhortation to present our life to Him. You know, God didn't say, present your life to me in order to be accepted by me. He said, you know, He's already talked about full justification and being entirely accepted by Him. He doesn't say, you know, present your life to me and then this or that. He says, you have full acceptance with me. There's a glorious future He's talked about there in Romans 18. It's so glorious. It's even the sufferings of this world not worthy to be compared to the glory that's to be revealed to us. He said there's new life in Christ. We've been liberated from sin's control. So He's told us all these things. We don't earn these things by presenting our life to the Lord, but it does lead us into the experience of these things. So the base of this exhortation is who God is and what God has done. You know, what exactly does it mean to present our bodies to the Lord? I want to just read what I wrote out one day, and really this was through the inspiration of listening to a particular individual speak about commitment. And so some of these words are mine, some of these words are somebody else's, and I'm not sure which is which, to be honest. But the idea, I did include this quote on the printed notes, in a sense that it'll be sent it out. There's nothing magic about these words, but I think these words do express the idea of what it means to present our bodies to God, a living holy sacrifice. Based on a right view of you and all that you've done for me, I joyfully make a definite commitment that I recognize your ownership of my life, and I yield every part of my life and all possessions and relationships for your possession and control from this moment forth and forever. I am available for whatever you want, whenever you want it, and however you want it, as long as I live. All my decisions will be made in light of this. You see, what God wants is what? The control of your life. You know, I've known this, that when I would fudge on a certain area, then, you know what I'd be vulnerable to do, Greg? I'd be vulnerable to start making certain sacrifices. You know, sacrifices that, quite frankly, God hasn't prompted me to make. But it was just one way of trying to, what, clear my conscience because of some area really hadn't yielded to the Lord. You know, God's way demands everything, but in that sense, it's easier. Because we can be open ourselves up to false burdens that are not of the Lord. But God says, present the totality of your life to me. That's the issue, the control of your life. I'm sure I read that too fast for somebody to copy down, but I said we did include that on the notes. If they send for the notes, they'll get that quote. I can remember a number of years ago, but hearing a man speak, it was Dr. Carl Armending is who it was. He was 85 years of age when I heard him speak. And he spoke about this verse, Romans 12, 1 and 2. He said when he came to Christ when he was 15 years of age, and when he was 17 years of age, he read Romans 12, 1 and 2, and it struck him so much that he began to ask other Christians, you know, to explain it to him. And so he asked a fellow Christian one day, had he read this verse? And they said, oh, sure, I've memorized it. And he asked them, have you ever done it? They said, no. He says, do you know how to do it? And they said, no. And he asked another, and he got the same response, and he says, you're no help. And so he finally ask another one. And this is what this man told him. He said, you know, I want you to go to your room and lock the door. Put your finger on this verse. Get on your knees and tell God you want to do it. And so he did it. And he said, that's when God struck him, that it meant the totality of his life. And God meant everything, all parts of his body, his eyes, his brain, his legs, everything. And he said he did it before leaving that room. And he said, you know, that transaction has saved me and preserved me, Dr. Armending said, at 85 years of age, from all kinds of temptation to sin in my young years. And at a time that he was supposedly had cancer, a Jewish physician was examining him, and he was asking him certain questions, you know, in regard to, do you do this, do you drink, do you smoke, in regard to how you use his body. And he said, no. And you see, that Jewish physician said, you know, it's paying off. You know, the blessing of this decision, the idea being able to place our life in our body, it's amazing. God says He's acceptable. He accepts us.
Yeah.
The invitation to present our life in the hands of God.
Maybe it would be helpful, Dr. Thrasher, to talk here a little bit about the practical implications of that and whether it means a once-in-a-lifetime decision or whether this is a daily yielding of ourselves to God or how that fleshes itself out in the life of a Christian.
Yes, that's an excellent question. Certainly, it is a commitment that is aimed at the totality of one's life. And so while there may be a crisis commitment, there's nothing wrong necessarily with that, but it always must be followed by a process. I remember reading a book one day. The title of that book is They Found the Secret. I don't know if you've ever read that book. Mm-hmm. It's Dr. Edmond, past president at Wheaton College, wrote that book, and it's about 19 different lives. Each chapter is a different biography, and it talks about, and sort of the theme of it is how they reach a point of surrender of their life to the Lord. Mm-hmm. But it's always followed by a process. Also, I noticed another theme is that many times what hinders that is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true in all of our life. It's like it's a scary thing to lose control of one's life.
Yeah.
And yet, many times there was like one thing that was between that person and truly surrendering their life to the Lord.
Hmm. And I'm sure that God tailors each situation to each one of His children. In other words,
exactly.
Your experience might not identically match mine. There's always room for that as well.
And I think that's very important because sometimes I think we can try to duplicate an experience of someone that we greatly admire. But yet God's a personal God.
Hmm.
But it's His desire that He brings us and graciously gives us the opportunity to present our life to Him.
Hmm. Well, another tremendously helpful session. And Dr. Thrasher, thank you for this Bible study today. We are in the midst of a study on God's will for your life as a part of Radio School of the Bible. We're glad you are a part of it. And I'm Greg Wheatley, and we'll see you again next time in Radio School of the Bible.